Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into Engaging Walk. Today is the 10th of May. My name is Drake, and this episode is going to be about the greatest benefit of getting married. I know in yesterday's episode we talked about how men, even though there are so many obstacles in today's society of disincentivizing men to get married, this episode is solely about the most, in my opinion, the single most greatest advantage of getting married, or the benefit. And that's in my humble opinion, and it's something that I've learned. You know, bear in mind, my wife and I have only been married for about 2 years now, so this is, for me, the best benefit, and we'll get into that in just 1 second. So first, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into Engaging Walk. We got a bunch of new people listening, and if you guys can give us a like, subscribe, comment, and share the content with people that you think would benefit from this. And if this is your first time listening, this is Engaging Walk, and here we discuss all things marriage, dating, relationships, love, and of course now child rearing and raising a family. So without further ado, we'll get into the content. And also if you guys can give us a rating on either, if you're whatever area in which you're listening to the podcast, whatever medium, if it's Apple Podcast or Spotify, whichever one you're listening to, if you can give us a rating, that way people know that you're enjoying the content and people can, you know, learn from it or at least enjoy the content, that would be much appreciated. All right, so without further ado, we're going to dive into it. So what is the greatest benefit of getting married? In my humble opinion, it's the growth that one experiences in having to take into account somebody else that you love all of the time. And that's not to say that it's exhausting. And, you know, my grandfather once told me a long time ago that nothing easy or nothing worthwhile is easy. That if it's difficult, then you're going to learn something from it and you're on the right track. You're doing something that is worthwhile. It's going to benefit you in the long run. You know, and that's why a lot of the times when I was doing things growing up, I would purposely do the more difficult way or the, you know, the longer way. I thought that, you know, I would learn more during the process and I would learn different skills along the way other than just like the immediate gratification of completing that task or learning that skill or whatever. And marriage is no different, that you have to suspend a great deal about yourself. But in that, what I mean by yourself, I've been trying to like think about like how to word this. It's like your things are no longer just your things. They are your family's things, you and yours and your wife's. Or yours and your husband's. Your time is no longer just your time. It's your family time. Of course, you're going to have your free time in order to recharge your batteries and, you know, get your own self-fulfillment. But that's no longer your sole priority. That's no longer your sole focus outside of, like, work or whatever else you have going on, like, whether it be school or whatever, running a business. That free time that you have is no longer just your free time. It's the free time that you share or schedule or plan with your spouse. Likewise with your finances and your resources. And of course, likewise with pretty much everything else in your life. And that constant compromise, that constant thinking about somebody else, turns you into a new and mature person, a much more mature person than if you are just always aiming at your own immediate needs, your own gratification, your own will, that there's so much more that can be gained and is gained by that acknowledgement of that other person in your relationship, your spouse, because, you know, there's just so much that goes into how much that benefits you. One, I would have to say, is not just the fact that you grow as a person because you have to like take into somebody else's needs all the time and you have to adapt and work around it, but that is such a great benefit. But the side result of that, or the main result of that, is your thinking changes. And I think that one of the main ailments of today's society is people are attached to their ideas. So I'm going somewhere with this, but just hear me out. People are attached to their ideas. Their identity is attached to their ideas. I'm a conservative. I'm a liberal. I'm a feminist. I am a libertarian. I'm a Marxist. I am... You've probably heard thousands of these by now. I'm a leftist. I am a neo-conservative. I'm a paleo-conservative. I'm this, I'm that. I am my ideology. I'm here to tell you guys that you're not your ideology. You are not your ideology. You are so much more than that. Your ideas are not who you are. That's why it helps if you attack somebody's ideas and not their persona, or like not their personal, their personhood, then it goes a much, much longer way. And being able to shed ideas and not be attached to ideas and use them like tools as opposed to your body parts, you know, or clothing that is, you know, something that everyone's going to see and identifies with you. It's just the same. You're not your clothing. You know, you're not, you know, one person might argue you're not even your body, right? So you're definitely not your ideas. You're a culmination of your experiences and your core beliefs and your faith, you know, your spirit, everything about that. But you're not your ideas. You're not your political philosophy. You know, those things are, like I said, I think of them more as tools, and I think of them more as like tools that become refined and tools that become more a part of your tool belt, you know, maybe your more permanent tool belt, especially as you get older. But we should never be attached to our ideas. And I think marriage is something that helps us come to that conclusion a lot faster. That, and nothing will, you know, speed this process up like planning a vacation together as a couple, because your idea of the vacation might be completely different than what your family's idea of the vacation might be, right? So if you're planning a vacation for yourself, your pre-married self, like the thing that you would like the most to do, it's going to be a lot of times wildly different than where you are with your family. You know, whether it be because you have a dog now, or because you have children, or because, you know, your wife just wouldn't want to do those kinds of things, or it wouldn't be as fun for her or for your husband, that you meet somewhere in the middle, right? So you're not your idea in that sense. Like, you're not your idea of a vacation. You are not able to just do that one thing. And then if you have such a hard time with it, if you're like, man, this is what I want to do for the vacation, and your wife is like, well, that's not going to work for the family. You know, for the family, we shouldn't be going to Vegas, you know, during like EDM week. We should be going to, you know, maybe Big Bear or someplace that's more family friendly and have a great time there. And when you're spitballing these ideas and you're trying to get them, you know, you're trying to figure out like, okay, what's the perfect family vacation for us, or what's the best way for us to spend that vacation time together? Then you start to realize like, okay, well, the things that I want to do that I'm spitballing as ideas are just ideas. And the less attached I am to them and the more I'm open to them being refined by my spouse, you know, by the fact that we have children together, a dog, all of those things help refine and mold the idea into something completely different, something that you would not have been able to think of on your own, or something that you would not have even wanted to do on your own. But you're going to find enjoyment out of it nevertheless, because one, you get to spend time with your family, and two, you're all doing something that can be shared in an enjoyable way. And that is much more enjoyable than just doing something that you wanted to do on your own. And this translates not just to marriage, but this translates to business, inventions, innovations, that the ability to not be so anchored down to one thing and to pose it as an idea that you're not attached to, but one that, you know, you might be semi-attached to the idea that you know is your idea, but that idea is not a part of your identity anymore. You are not that idea. And once it gets into the marketplace of work or the marriage or friendship or wherever, whether it be business or innovations or inventions, and then that idea gets molded and refined and changed and it adapts and it becomes something totally new and something completely different and something that accommodates so many other people than just what you spawn from yourself. And nothing, I think, prepares you for that kind of process to the core of your being, that you have to disassociate yourself from your ideas like marriage does, because you have to do it all the time. You have to do it when you're going out for dinner. You have to do it when you're going food shopping. You have to do it when you're buying things off of Amazon shopping. You have to do it when you're planning your family vacations, when, you know, you're planning the family and taking care of your dog, figuring out what you want to do for the weekend. You're constantly doing it. And the more you do it, the more detached you become from your ideas. That's not to say that you don't value them, but they are no longer a part of your identity. And again, nothing prepares you like that for marriage. And I think a lot of society's problems would go away if people were less attached to their ideas and were not able or didn't associate them as their personalities. Okay, well, that's all I got for you guys today. It's a quick one, but you know, I might have glossed over this one or I might have completely missed it in yesterday's episode, but as I was reflecting on yesterday's episode and thinking a lot more about it, I came to the conclusion that this deserves its own time and its own accent, if you will. So I'm really glad to be able to share this idea with you. And of course, I'm not attached to this one either. This one is my idea of, or my best, greatest benefit of getting married. You guys might have different ones. Let me know what you guys think. And if this resonates with you and you felt a similar way, let me know about your process of not being attached to your ideas and positing things to your wife or to your husband and seeing their reaction and going from there. Because it really is an amazing process that matures us every single day. And so with that, I'd like to thank you guys so much. And, you know, this weekend we got Mother's Day coming up. So, you know, you only got a couple more days, a day and a half or so of getting a Mother's Day gift. You know, it's still a little bit of time to get a meaningful gift. And of course, you know, we'll see you guys next week. This will be the last episode for this week. We'll have another one for you guys on Monday. And we have a new series coming up for you. So this next series is going to be all about the 5 C's of connection. So what are the 5 areas of connection that create connection? So it's a lot of alliteration going forward into this new concept. And so this will be like a main staple of Engaging Walk is these 5 C's. And we're going to reveal them week by week. But we're going to cover the 5 C's of connection. And so it's going to be a lot of alliteration, like I was saying. And also, this is going to be like a main staple of Engaging Walk, of covering these 5 C's, analyzing them, seeing how we're constantly going back into them in a relationship and then revamping them. But also this tied with that idea that we always talk about with 2 cups in a bowl, that you and your spouse are your own individual cups and your marriage is a bowl. And if your cup is filled, then you're able to bring something to the bowl of marriage. And if your partner's cup is filled, then he or she is able to bring something to the marriage. And then and only then are we able to bring something to the marriage. So, you know, we treat each other as individuals, but we are also one. And it's, you know, it can be very confusing sometimes, but I think that that two cups in a bowl analogy really helps make that idea clear, that the marriage is its own entity and it's like a higher purpose, a higher thing that we gain towards that we have to fill, but we can only fill towards it when we are ourselves are filled. And okay, so with that, well, I'll leave you guys with a great Mother's Day weekend. I hope you guys have a great one. You know, it's a great time to celebrate Mother's Day with all of the, you know, moms, grandmas out there. You know, even moms that, you know, were moms for a short period of time, you know, and there's a lot of like sadness around that, but there's also a moment to celebrate, you know, those moms as well in our lives. So don't neglect them. Make sure that they all feel loved, they all feel recognized. And of course, today is Military Spouse Recognition Day. I'd like to spend just one more little bit over here recognizing my wife and all the military spouses out there, because they have it rough. You know, their husbands or wives go out on deployments. They go out and they put themselves into harm's way. You know, they can get injured on the job. They can get injured out at sea, or, you know, while being deployed during exercises. They can even lose their lives. You know, I've seen it. I've been on deployments and I've had, you know, people die on those deployments and from exercises. And, you know, it's really tough. It's very, very difficult for the spouses to be in the dark about so much of what happens in our lives as military personnel. So they deal with quite a bit. You know, sometimes they can go a month or longer without being able to contact them out there and not knowing how they're doing. And, you know, and it's very, very challenging, even with today's standard of like instant messaging and, you know, text messaging, iMessaging. There's still plenty of people out there that go out for a month, months, you know, months at a time, and aren't able to contact their loved ones. And those military spouses are at home taking care of the family, taking care of the bills, taking care of the house, and they're doing it with that added stress of their loved ones not being there. So big appreciation to my wife for dealing with that, and then also for all the other military spouses out there. Thank you guys so much, and ladies out there, so much for what you guys do for the country. It does not go unappreciated. Although it should be appreciated a lot more, it does not go unappreciated. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys next time. Enjoy your weekend, and happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. Bye-bye.